This episode is brought to you by Monty's Gems. You know, cojones.
Yeah, marbles.
You know, huevos?
Well, nuts?
We're talking about his balls.
Without those little things dangling below his belly button, this episode wouldn't be possible.
So thanks, Dad, for protecting those things throughout all the years.
Thanks, Dad.
Monty's Gems.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Welcome to Monty's Gems.
Monty's Gems. It's time to have a podcast.
Episode 6.
This week, we will be talking about personalities, how they differ, how to effectively communicate with other people who have different personalities than we do, and to try to better understand our own personalities and how to be secure and confident in those.
Yeah. I'd say it sounds like a good time to me.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. This is something that I've researched a lot about. I've really enjoyed learning about personalities, my personality, and other people's personalities, and why sometimes people just seem to rub me the wrong way, and when they do, how I might be able to better pursue having a relationship with them and understanding where they're coming from and just being able to talk to them. So that's something.
Yeah, exactly. I think, like you said, it's just so important to understand people's personalities and what makes them tick and what makes you tick, and kind of how you can mesh together the best as possible and not go through all the headache of just always assuming, oh, maybe it's just that person's having a bad day. But
yeah, and I think the whole goal of humanity is to really have peace and happiness. And I think one of the ways you do that is by being able to communicate well with other people and having, I guess, maybe friendships or relationships. And the better the relationship are, usually the happier and healthier you are. So that's what I think is super important. When it comes to this specific episode, we're going to start off by talking about the DISC personality. Do you know much about DISC, Jake?
You mentioned it in, was it the first or second episode about all the different birds and stuff like that? But that's kind of my level of knowledge there that you kind of mentioned.
Sure. So the DISC personality, it's essentially based on four different personality types, and they're brought out in letters. The D stands for dominant. The I stands for interactive. The S stands for supportive. And the C stands for conscientious. And so when I first started learning about DISC, I really had a hard time trying to remember all these things and how they applied. And I would like be listening to somebody and be like, which are they, D-I-S? And I had a hard time remembering like which one was which. And I told you about this book that I started reading, which was called Taking Flight, where it broke them all down into four bird types. Well, 2 weeks ago, I started reading like the second book, the prequel to that book, and it's called The Chameleon, where it kind of blends them all together and it tells a lot of great stories about how the personalities, or maybe they get confused with each other, or they maybe get in arguments, or they can't comprehend each other. So it goes into these stories to how to better understand, and just also explaining each personality type and why they think the way that they do. So what helped for me is not just knowing the letter, but also knowing what bird it was associated with. And so that's why I'll go back up to the dominant represents an eagle. And so dominant personality types, they set ambitious goals and aggressively pursue them versus taking it safe. They have a high level of competition and it can bring out their best. They also don't mind constructive conflict. So they don't mind one of the things about sports, or when there's an issue at work, they don't mind just going right towards that issue, confronting it and trying to come up with some type of resolution versus shying away. The I, the interactive, those are parrots. They're enthusiastic, optimistic, upbeat. They thrive in positive work environments. They encourage group interaction. They love freedom and the flexibility and can juggle responsibilities. So sometimes these are the people that can be seen as maybe lackluster or lazy. They're just always kind of going around doing their own thing, and they never to maybe that eagle dominant personality type, they never really seem focused. And then the supportive, that resembles a dove. They need stability. They're calm, steady work environments. They love creating harmony, and they struggle around blunt people, which is, I'm a very direct and blunt person. So I think sometimes, and I've experienced this probably in leasing and sales the most, where I'll go on a tour and I'll ask, you know, what were your thoughts on the property? And you can always tell who the doves are when they're like, oh, yeah, we liked it. But yeah, then, like, you try to call them in the future and you never hear from them ever again. Yeah, it was just like, they have a hard time just like, dude, I had one guy a couple weeks ago. He came to the property. He's like, oh, yeah, I love it. I love it. Chad, like, I'm gonna go home and I'm going to apply. He's like, well, and he's like, well, I hope to see you again. He's like, oh, no, wait. I'm going to see you again. Yeah, because I'm going to go home and apply. And it was just like, The whole tour was like one of those tours that was just like too good to be true.
Right.
It was just like, dude, I know you're not going to apply. I asked you what kind of job you had, and you didn't have a good answer for that. But he just seemed – it was like that. And so it's just that personality type. The last one is conscientious. That's the owl. They're logical, have a need for accuracy, want to be rewarded for quality, need to find standards and expectations, and they need time to analyze a situation before making decisions. So I think this is something that when we were talking about starting the podcast, where I was the one who was like, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And I wanted to try to get everything figured out before we started the podcast versus just kind of going – getting it started and then kind of going from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it makes it a lot easier to break it into birds, because not only are you giving it something to remember, like, I don't know, I guess some, it depends on which way you learn, I guess, but some people like the letters spelled out disc, but I think it's just much easier to learn through like the different birds, because you can kind of just remember based off of the bird's behaviors, which I guess that's kind of the whole point of it. But yeah, just being able to remember like the eagle. Oh, I'm not an eagle. Oh, I'm not a dove. Or, oh, I am a dove. And I don't know. I just think it's easier to break it down into things that can be relatable, I guess.
Right. Yeah. And a letter is just, it's very difficult to be to be relatable unless you're specifically remembering what the letter stands for, which are, you know, I think we all grow up around birds, right? So we kind of know the different types of birds and what they represent, especially there, a lot of them have to do with logos. And these specific type of birds, they represent the logo of whatever their disc personality type is very, very well. So for me, it's much easier to say he's a parrot, that person's an owl, she is a dove. Like it's super easy to do that. So after hearing those, what one would you say you are?
I don't know if I would really narrow myself down to one of them. I mean, I could see myself being all of those in different given situations. I don't know that I'm one specific one all the time, but I would say an owl a lot of the time. Sometimes, I don't know, I guess it just depends on who I'm around. Like if I'm around my friends or something, like then I'll be a parrot or maybe even an eagle. Or sometimes if I'm in front of a lot of people, maybe sometimes a dove. I could see myself being all of those, to be honest, at different times.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting, because I felt the exact same way, that it has to do with the setting, the environment, and also it has to do with, I think, the emotions inside of the room or what's going on. So like at work, sometimes I can be very, very focused and very, very, I would say, detail oriented, analyze a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. But then also times at work where you have a group of people who are just relaxed and they're calm, and it's easy to be that parrot and just be joking around about stuff as well. So I agree 100% with you in terms of how our personalities can be much, much different based on our roles, and then kind of where we are in life.
Right.
Would you say that your personality has changed over time?
Yeah, I would say so. I would say I used to be a lot more of a dove. The only time I would ever really, well, I would be an owl too. I was always super analytical, I think. But I would say the only time I wasn't really a dove was when I was playing sports. Then I could be more of an eagle. But other than that, I would say I was usually more of a dove.
And if you think about, like, being a dove, usually a lot of these things are, like, learned things. Like, where would you say you got that from, or how do you think you came to be a dove?
I don't know. I think we talked about it in maybe two episodes ago, but I always grew up, I was always around, like, older kids, so I would always be kind of shy in that aspect, maybe that they knew more than me, or just kind of being shy, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I remember as you being a younger kid, you always were like, oh, Bandit, where I was like, always like, I felt like Bandit was just a pain in the butt. But you were just way more kind and just loving and like, oh, we'll go cuddle Bandit. And now I'm just like, oh my God, this dude, this dog is such a pain. I cannot stand this dog.
Grab Bandit in the blanket and shake him around until he starts biting everybody.
Well, yeah. That probably didn't help.
Yeah. What would you say that has changed about your personality? Or I guess do you think your personality has changed?
Yeah, so I would say it has changed. I would say, you know, growing up, so dude, this is what's really different is that mom and dad they weren't as social as they were when you grew up. So really? Like mom didn't work at Savory, you know, they weren't out and about all the time. So it was just kind of like A and K, and we always just kind of stayed home, and it was just family, 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 family. Never really got to go out and see anybody. And so I felt like just like, oh my gosh, like just shy and never. And then, you know, that's what's interesting is as we grew, and I think I've always really wanted to be like a parrot. I've always enjoyed being around people, making people laugh. Mm-hmm. That as I've gotten out on my own and realized it's okay to talk to strangers, that I become more of a parrot. But again, it's very specific to the situation that I'm in. Because as I was thinking about you being that owl, like when we play board games, you have the ability to be very, very logical and analyze things very, very quickly to where you don't really get analysis paralysis, but to where you can obviously see things far into the future, whether, you know, like almost like a chess match. Mm-hmm. And somehow you just have the ability to analyze a board and I think things like that at a very quick level.
Yeah, I think, I don't know why that is, but I feel like that's just something that's kind of always come to me naturally. I don't know if it's like playing some video games that require like strategy maybe, and a lot of board games. I guess we played a lot of board games growing up and strategy. So I guess when you're younger, that takes a lot more impact on you than when you're older. So maybe I just, that kind of molded my logical analysis that way. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, and I think just like growing up with dad, yeah, and how sarcastic he was,
yeah,
but I think he was also very analytical because he would always, and I think when you're analytical, you're very judgmental. Yeah. He'd be like, well, that guy's an idiot. Like, yeah, why are you doing it like that? Why are you doing it like that, dad? Why are you doing it like that? That was stupid. Mm. Like, you got to do it like this. Why'd you go buy that car? That costs all that money.
Yeah,
you don't got all that money. And he was, he was just super logical about absolutely everything to the point where it's like we had really no other choice than to try to be logical. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true.
Like we talked in previous episodes where mom would come home with groceries or she liked to go to Goodwill and just go yeah, buy stuff. He's like, what kind of crap did you buy this time?
Yeah.
Oh, that will go. That will go over in the closet and sit there for years.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, he's very logical. He didn't really, I don't think, make very many decisions based off of emotions.
No, yeah. If ever. It was never really emotional choices. It was always, yeah, very logical thinking, very straightforward, very cut and dry.
Yeah, 100%. And so I guess going into the personalities, I think what's really important is trying to figure out like how ours suits us the best. And one of the things that I was reading about specifically is how to go about finding a job that suits your personality. Do you ever feel like you've been at a job where maybe it wasn't so much the people you are around, but the job itself just felt like a huge burden?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. Because I know there's been a number of jobs. I like the ability to be able to be creative and not do the same thing over and over and over again. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't like the monotonous types jobs. And it's like those types of jobs kind of, the ones where you get that all that change, those are more for owls and I would say eagles, where they're competing and they want to continue pursuing something new.
Right. And I would like say,
for me, go ahead.
I would say working at the rat farm was very, very monotonous work. And it was the same thing. Like, you had something to do on Monday and you would do that every Monday. You had something to do on Tuesday. You would do that every single Tuesday. And it was boring in that sense. But it was so you never knew what was going to happen that you didn't really even think about it like that. Like, sure, it was the same job technically, but it was just so many different possibilities of literally anything happening that was, it really never got boring, I guess.
Okay. And I would say that working at Savory, and I worked at Kendrick's, I delivered office supplies. So Savory was a restaurant where I was a waiter. And then I worked in a golf course down here in South Florida. Both of those, all three of those jobs were very much similar in the same process, but it was so much interaction with people where you'd have these just unique experiences.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You also got to be part of a team in all three of those jobs, which I really, really enjoyed. I've always enjoyed, I think, the team atmosphere, specifically when it comes to playing sports. So those three jobs helped with that. But at one point, my owl and eagle kind of came out, and it's like, yeah, this can be all right, but it's like, what's after this? Like, what am I pursuing? How am I doing more? Like, it's like, I'm doing the same thing over and over and I'm not progressing in life.
Right.
And I think that's how you kind of felt at the rat farm. Yeah. It's like, yeah, this is cool. This is all right, but it's very monotonous and I'm not really working towards anything. Yeah. Whereas like the job I'm at now, it's like unlimited potential, or at least where I'm currently at now. You know, you can go really, really high up in property management with being, you know, a property analyst, and there's just so many opportunities to continue to learn after you're even a property manager.
Right. And yeah, I think that was another thing. That's kind of why I left the rat farm in the first place. It was like, it was good hours. It was fun. Like, I liked what I did, kind of. I didn't really like working with mice and rats and whatnot, but it was fun. But at the end of the day, I was like, I'm really not learning any new skills. I'm doing the same thing. I'm not really progressing towards anything. So I guess that's why. And I always wanted to join in construction, and I always thought the process of building houses and whatnot was cool. So I just said, oh, I'll go apply to this construction place. And there's so many things you can learn in construction, so I never really feel stagnant or anything like that. So,
yeah, and I think that's kind of where that eagle and that owl kind of pops up as well, right? Is that there's unlimited potential to be able to continue to learn and move forward.
Yeah.
And so I think also with not only the jobs, but sometimes when you think about these different personalities, they are associated with specific gender roles. And I think sometimes people struggle where maybe there's someone who is more of a dove, where they're calm, they're collective, they're emotional, so they show emotions. Like, I remember, you know, Dad wasn't ever really afraid to cry, to show his love, or, you know, when he hugged, like, you could actually really feel his hugs. Yeah, he hugged really, really deep, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's something that has been kind of brought to me, too, is that I love, I just love, like, it's difficult. Like, when I miss people, I actually, you know, tears come in my eyes, and I can share emotions. But in society today, sometimes these personality types, where if it is a dub, they're related to specific genders. And so if you're a man that's crying, sometimes that's looked as a weakness. Or if you're a woman who is very independent and in a leadership role, or she's very direct and, you know, can stand up to conflict, sometimes that's a little... that can be a little off-putting because it's not normal. And with those specific gender roles being associated with those things, I think sometimes it can cause people to not really fall into their true personality. So a guy who's emotional, sometimes he can restrict that and kind of hold on to those things and not fully become himself.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And it's just like, it seems like a weakness, but in honesty, it's just, I think being vulnerable is so important. And it's like, I mean, people cry, everybody cries. You're going to be emotional, and just trying to hide it is not going to help anything, I think. And it's just going to make it worse down the road. So if you got to cry, just cry, I say, I guess.
Yeah. The issue is that it's a lot easier said than done.
Right. Right. Right.
Society. I mean, especially if you're on any type of social media, there's just, you know, be a man, stand up, don't be weak, like, don't do this, don't do that. And I personally don't know if anyone ever can heal from pain and hurt without going through and expressing those emotions and dealing with it just through the crying or sharing those emotions at least with someone else, the hurt and the pain, instead of just keeping it for themselves and allowing it to go deep within, you know?
Yeah, and I think something important to add on to that is the whole idea of being a man and don't be weak. But I think it's kind of, opposite of the thinking, in the sense that being weak is not crying and just hiding it and acting, putting on a facade that you're not weak, but in reality you want to cry, but you're not strong enough to, kind of like the saying, like, real men wear pink or whatever. Because it's like they're confident enough to be like, you know, my masculinity is not in question. I'm confident in my masculinity. I can wear pink if I want to. I can cry if I want to. I feel like that's what being a man is. If the whole goal is to, be a man, then I feel like being vulnerable is just another check off that list. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think, again, it goes back to the fears that we were talking about a couple episodes ago. And you brought up a really good point at the comedy show, where when they go to some of these private events for these businesses, a lot of people have a hard time laughing because they don't know if what they're laughing at would be acceptable to everyone in the group. And they don't want to kind of look down on for laughing at something that others,
find offensive.
Yeah. Find offensive. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. That's a really good description of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as we kind of go through these personalities as well, so we talked about the gender roles, but the other thing is, you know, what upsets one person could be no big deal to another. Mm-hmm. Just in the same way, what scares one person could be a thrill to others. And so I don't know if you've ever had this issue in your relationship or anything like that, where you could be laughing about something, I remember I would laugh about South Park and then I would look over and the person wouldn't be laughing. And I was like, oh, you don't think that's funny? And so it's like, oh, well, you must think it's offensive. And so then I would just like, you get that in your head where it's like, I probably shouldn't be laughing at this. Whereas in fact, it's just a different personality. So how they take the information, and again, I think it's based on life experiences, how we grew up, the value system, just the things that we thought were allowed to be laughed at, and those types of things are there. There's so many different levels of what's acceptable and what's not, even that our personality divides up into sections to be able to accept.
Right. And I think, like, the whole, if it's offensive to one person and not offensive to another, I think the whole idea behind South Park is, like, they're making fun of it. It's being a comedy. It's obviously not, I'm being 100% serious about this topic and I actually feel this way. It's just taking, like, the most common stereotypes, and it's like, it wouldn't be funny if it wasn't relatable, at least to a certain degree. You know what I mean? So it's just being able to take that away and being able to decipher what's reality and what's a TV show aiming to make people laugh.
Right. But so let's take it even farther. When you go to, have you seen some of these prank YouTube channels to where, like, these couples, they take it so far to where, like, she goes and takes his PlayStation and destroys it. and then he'll go and like put something in her hair conditioner to where it like colors her hair. It's like, where do you draw the line? Because some of these things almost make me like cringe. It's like, I can see how other people think it's funny, but dude, if somebody did some of those things to me, I would feel like really, really offended and really unloved. And yeah. So once you go down that road of like creating jokes and doing pranks, it's like, where do you draw the line?
Mm-hmm. That's kind of like the whole joke behind the, oh, it's just a prank, bro. It's just a prank, bro. Where they do something like completely out of line that is not like, quote unquote, a prank, but it's just because they're recording it and they say, oh, look, there's a camera right there. It's just a prank, bro. But it's like, that wasn't a prank at all. That's just straight up being a terrible person.
But how do you determine what's a prank and what's that?
I mean, I guess I worded it poorly, but I mean, recording videos, like recording a prank should be like lighthearted and fun stuff. It shouldn't be like, I guess, I don't know, negativity sells and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, if it's somebody that you care about, or even if it's not somebody you care about, don't try to like do something that would ruin their day.
Yeah, but I guess that's what I'm getting at, is that, dude, it just seems like what's lighthearted to one is not lighthearted to another.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
I mean, I think some of the things that me and you would in our family would do, where we would, you know, kind of laugh it off and we would just a joke, other people would take huge offense to, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, and so it's just really, really interesting to see how our personality types differ and, you know, how we are raised, but to also be able to, I think sometimes for me, I would feel bad, because if you have that, maybe that dove personality type where if you feel like you hurt somebody or said something offensive, you can really take it to heart, and then you start criticizing yourself and going into that perfectionist mindset. And then you kind of lose a little bit of maybe who you are in the future.
Yeah. Have you ever heard the saying that the worst thing to ever happen to you is the worst thing that's ever happened to you?
No, I haven't.
I think about that a lot in the sense that, okay, you think about the worst thing that's ever happened to you in your life. And then you take that and maybe take somebody who's been just had a rough, rough life. And you take the same situation, and to them, that's nothing. But to you, it could be like, wow, this is super detrimental, because you've had an okay life, you've had your ups and your downs, but it's like you weren't beaten or you weren't homeless your whole life or whatever. And then you take somebody who's had a relatively easy life in perspective, obviously, and then you take them in the situation, it's like, whoa, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And you're like, that's really the worst thing that's ever happened to you. But it just puts into perspective, like, everybody is living a different life. And the worst thing that's ever happened to you, maybe somebody hasn't even ever experienced that. And that would be the worst thing that's ever happened to them. You know what I mean?
Right. Or maybe the worst thing that's ever happened to you is something that, like, somebody else deals with on a daily basis.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I think, you know, kind of what you're sharing, like we've said, our life experiences really help to, I think, develop our personalities and our mindsets and how they strengthen us.
Right. And Joe Rogan talks about it a lot, but it's the whole idea of putting yourself through difficult situations, whether that be going super hard in the gym or whether that be learning a new skill, but just challenging yourself every day, it leads to more happiness and discipline and a lot more peaceful, because you're putting yourself through those difficult situations. So maybe if it comes up not by choice in the future, then you've already been through that. And then at that point, it's like, this is nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think those ideas are good. I guess. So my biggest concern with that is, you know who David Goggins is, right?
Right. Yeah.
And I would David Goggins is an eagle, right? So he's just all about going and doing hard stuff. He'll go out, he'll does it by himself. And so I guess my biggest concern is like, does he ever experience hurt, or like if somebody close to him like passes away, or he really experiences something difficult, is he able to actually go and be emotional, to cry, to feel the pain? Or does he just always say, nope, no pain, no pain, no pain. Like, just go, 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 go. Because I think there can be a point where it's just not, that's not healthy. Like, you have to be able to experience being that dove in specific settings to be able to help heal yourself.
Right. And I think he talks about a lot of it in his books, that the stuff that he puts himself through is a lot of physical stuff. I mean, the emotional side comes with that, obviously, but he always talks about the emotional side in his books a lot, and how it, he still gets emotionally wounded, I guess you would say.
But okay, maybe this is a little bit more so in his first or his second book, because I didn't gather that much in his first book. I was always just thinking this guy is just like I don't know if he ever like has help or how, like it just doesn't seem like he'd be able to experience hurt.
Right. You saying that reminded me of it was a video. It was like an animated thing, but it was like the first trip to Mars or whatever. And there's Elon Musk and there's Joe Rogan and a bunch of other celebrities, and it's showing the spaceship door opening, and then David Goggins is sitting there jogging on Mars, and it's like 500 more miles to go, baby, and he's just running on Mars already. And Joe Rogan's like, David Goggins, what a savage.
Because he was already there.
Yeah, he was already there running. Yeah.
And like, you know, going into kind of just people laughing about stuff, it's like what scares one person can be a thrill to another. Like, we talked a couple weeks ago about having absolutely no me personally, I don't want to skydive. Mm-hmm. But dude, there's people that go out there and they just live for it.
Mm-hmm.
Or going super fast on a motorcycle, or just, I think, what's that one thing called? Parkour?
Parkour.
Where they're jumping off buildings and stuff like that. And it's just like,
yeah.
Like, I don't, dude, these are some things that are so interesting, because I don't understand how people can get into their mind to their where they're just so motivated to do those things. I can't comprehend how it's possible, dude.
Yeah. I think it's adrenaline, like just them getting that rush and them chasing that high, and then to the point where normal life just seems kind of boring and bland, so they just kind of gotta go extremo mode, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, so it's very similar to when you're up at the plate and it's just you and the pitcher, and all you're trying to do is either get a hit or hit a home run. Or if you're the pitcher trying to strike this, it's 100% focus, and it's that adrenaline of trying to win. But for them, the winning is just accomplishing, jumping over this and landing without breaking your leg.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a whole different scale.
I mean, and that's what just fascinates me, I think, so much with personalities. And just like, I don't understand how somebody like me cannot want to skydive ever, and I think it's like one of the stupidest things in the world. But other people, they love it, they just can't get enough of it, and they look at me as like being an idiot because I wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, neither is wrong. Like, right. It's okay to have both of those perspectives, and I think that's the most important thing when it comes down to understanding your personality, is being okay with understanding yourself and accepting who you are, no matter if you're around these thrill seekers who say, oh, don't be such a girl, like, come on, go jump out of a plane. And it's like, no, like, that's not me, that's not Chad.
Yeah, yeah. And just like earlier we were saying, like, just being confident in who you are and being able to say that you don't want to do that, instead of I don't know, just something you don't like doing, and that's okay. And it's okay for people to like different things, and at the end of the day, that's okay. But not having to feel like you have to fit in with everybody, I think that's super important.
100%. And the other aspect that I wanted to get into inside of personalities is that it's good to understand all four different types of these personalities for specific aspects of your life. And so I'll be more specific with that. So let's say you're a dove, and you're in school or you're at work, and people are making fun of you, or maybe you're at work and you know you're working and they've just came up with this new system, but this new system is going to put a lot more work on your plate to the point to where it's going to make it extremely stressful and you're probably not going to be able to accomplish it. As a dove, we have to be able to learn how to be an eagle and stand up for ourselves in specific scenarios. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to go try to make our weaknesses our strengths and just totally not be who we are, but we have to use these tools of all the other personality types for the special occasion when we need them. Or maybe you're walking down the street in a city and somebody, you know, kind of comes up to you and they just make you feel awkward. There has to be a point where you have to be able to stand up for yourself and be that.
Yeah, exactly. It's not necessarily saying that a dove has to turn into an eagle, but just the ability to have that switch when necessary to be an eagle in that one circumstance. And then you can go back to being a dove, but just being able to stand up for yourself. And because if you're a dove your entire life and never switch on being an eagle, then people are just going to take advantage of that, especially the eagles. They're just going to take advantage of that, and it's going to lead to a lot of miserable conversations with yourself.
Right. And again, same way with the eagles. So usually the eagles and the doves seem to be the most opposite. So they usually arrogant. And so the eagle, right? So the eagles are the ones always going out being successful. They're always trying to strive for more things and more things. But sometimes eagles aren't very good at back sitting into the present, enjoying their family, or maybe their partner, being able to express love, to be able to listen, comfort them, because they're so focused on their goals out in the future to where they're not able to sit and respect those things. And so there are aspects of eagles where maybe it's at home or maybe it's with their kids when they're not at work, to be able to be present with their family versus always thinking about work. I think eagles oftentimes are the ones who are workaholics. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they forget to set those things down. And so that's the aspect of eagles where they could do a better job of being able to be more like a dove and be present. Same way with parrots. So parrots, let's say you're going to some type of a seminar, or you want to just have a straight and direct conversation with someone. Sometimes parrots, they're just all over the place so much to where when you sit down, they have to be able to be present, or maybe it's even at work, stay focused. Like, mm-hmm. analyze these things. Like, they have to realize when they need to do that. Owls, same thing. Sometimes they're so focused on being logical and analyzing all the situations to where they forget that there's other people around them and that they need to just be more relaxed and sometimes go with the flow. And maybe, maybe they're going on a trip or something like that. And to be able to say, oh, hey, like, what's that over there? We should go check that out with, versus me and my mindset has always been get from point A to point B as fast as possible. And we don't stop to see anything. And mm-hmm. it's just like, man, I've missed out on some moments because I've been so focused on that goal and just trying to get there versus just living in the present and being like, huh, I wonder what's over there. Maybe we aren't going to get to where I want to go as quickly, but I could be missing an opportunity. Or maybe sometimes for me, it's been going to try to do something instead of hanging out with friends or family when that could have been a special time.
Right. I think the whole idea of this is trying to find a balance between all of them. Sometimes you have to be an eagle. Sometimes you have to be a dove. Sometimes you have to be a parrot. Sometimes you have to be an owl. I think it's important to live the best, in order to live the best life, you have to find a balance of when to be this and when to be that. Because if not, I don't think anybody's truly one of them in particular their whole lives. Obviously, you're going to switch on and off, but it's just finding that balance. Like you said, being a workaholic and just kind of completely forgetting about your family, or it's just finding that perfect balance in, I'm successful, but I also have time to spend with my family, and I can be in serious situations, but I also like to laugh, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, and adding on to that, it also has to do with, I think most of our lives, we're a higher percentage of one of these or a couple of these than the others, and so being able to accept that, and for me, being somewhat of a dove and caring a lot about what people think of me has been very hard in trying to understand my personality, because I always want to be a people pleaser and I always want people to like me. But sometimes my dominant personality comes out for setting ambitious goals and going to the gym at 4:30 in the morning. And that means not going and hanging out with family. And that's because I'm super driven about these things, where I've realized it's okay to accept that that's who I am, mm-hmm. and to not get down on myself so much for setting those ambitious goals. And because I think anytime you're maybe trying to go do something special that nobody's ever done, I know that I've talked to people who are doing like maybe a bodybuilding competition, and sometimes their friends are just like, why are you doing this? Like, you're not going to be able to go out to eat with us. You can't go party with us. And it's like, they may almost make them feel bad. Mm-hmm. Whereas like at this point in time, this is what they're focused on. So if we could support them, that would be a lot better. But also for ourselves, whether we have the support or not, we have to be able to be confident in our personalities and accept it. And that's what's been the most difficult thing for me. As I go through these books, has been helping to be able to accept my personalities and being able to breathe essentially a sigh of relief for that.
Right. And I think it's important to realize that every single person you run into every single day, you're never going to run. Well, I mean, you might run into the same literal person, but no two people are going to be the exact same person every single time. Like, it's, I was at work this week, and you know, the movie, The Incredibles, right?
The Incredibles.
The Incredibles. It's like a superhero family, right? Cartoon movie. Yeah. So there's this guy at my work named Mike, and he doesn't really ever reference anything, but we were talking, and he brought up in The Incredibles, there's the, when the villain, he's talking and he's like, if everybody's super, then nobody's super. And that's just kind of like, if everybody's an eagle, then nobody's truly an eagle. But it's just finding the balance and realizing that literally everybody is a different person. Everybody has different interests. They have different fears and traumas, and they have different goals. And it's just being able to support the ones that you call your friends or your family or just your loved ones in general. Everybody's going to live a different life, and it's just how you support them and how you bond with them is what's important, I guess.
Yeah, 100% agreed. And that's what's really been helping me, I think, to be able to support, relate, communicate with them, is just by reading these books on personalities to try to help understand my personality better, as well as the others. Because I think there's so many times where we get in an argument or a disagreement, or someone gets sad or they feel hurt. And oftentimes it's just because of not understanding the other person properly. Maybe it's asking better questions, or maybe sometimes it's just not even understanding their personality and how it functions and operates. Mm-hmm. So this week you wanted to talk about something that was impactful. I guess first off, did you have anything more to say about personalities?
Not necessarily. I think I got my main points I wanted to get across, that, like I said, everybody's a different person, and it's just being able to perceive that and accept that you're not the same person as this person. So don't, there's a quote that's like, comparison is the thief of joy, or something like that. And yeah. Comparing yourself to this person and being like, oh, I wish I was more like that person. But you don't see everything that person goes through. You didn't see maybe why they strive so much to be that person. You don't see what their day in, day out is like. Whereas you look at your life and it's a whole lot different, and you don't want to give up those things in order to do that. It's just being able to accept who you are and realizing that other people are different, and not feeling the need to compare yourself to other people.
No, that's 100% well said.
Thank you.
Because when it comes to personality traits, there's a second group of personality traits. It's called the Big Five personality traits. This is one of the, this is what Jordan Peterson really goes on, where it has to do with agreeableness, conscientiousness, extroversion, neuroticism, and openness. And I think it's important when it comes to personality traits, just like all these other labels that we talked about, whether it be depression or anxiety or the religion that you are, I think it's really important not to put labels, but to seek out and learn about all the different types, just to try to understand more so about how they are different and how they relate, and then how to better communicate. So we won't go into the big five personality traits today, but there are different ones with that as well.
Right.
So you wanted to talk about something that has been impactful or something that you learned this week, right?
Yeah, I thought it would be, because like, you know how we share a story of dad every week, and I think it would just be, and this week was the first week that we did an advertisement at the start of the episode. So I think it would just be interesting to have little segments that we do each week. And in this segment, we would do something that we learned or impacted us or whatever throughout the week. And I think it would give a little bit more background information about maybe what's going on in our lives or just something that we were interested in this week.
Yeah. What do you have? What was interesting to you?
Okay. So I was listening to, my wife actually was reading Casey Mean's book. She's a doctor. And other than that, I'm really not sure, I guess, but she was on Joe Rogan's podcast this week. And she was talking mainly about basically the diet and like the human diet, the amount of exercise and whatnot, and just being healthy, kind of like that book I was telling you about by Peter Attia, Outlive. It's just living the best life for as long as you can. And she brought up a quote that said, I brought it up on my monitor here. It's a study. They did a study, and in placenta, they found in every single placenta that they had, it was a 100% that there were microplastics in every single placenta. And I just found that very crazy, because I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago that they first came out with the fact that there were microplastics in our blood or our body or whatever. I don't, there probably were microplastics before then, but just the fact that 100% of the placenta that they tested, there were microplastics in, whether that be from food, like your bags, or just decomposing plastic in the air that we're breathing. And I just thought that was, that really shocked me.
And what would be the negative side effects of the microplastics in the future?
I believe they were talking about it, and it's like, I mean, microplastics can affect your ability to reproduce. It's causing not necessarily directly this and only this, but it's a slew of different factors that's leading to the population becoming more feminine. Maybe that the like the ability for males to reproduce, like able-bodied sperm, that it's actually able to create a baby, that's going down. And it's just, I don't remember how exactly they tested it, but it's causing the population to become a lot more feminine.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Yeah. I know that I thought that maybe like different types of food, microplastics is what exactly?
I looked it up. It's like a piece of plastic that is less than 5 millimeters in diameter. It doesn't have to be that big necessarily. It can be, some microplastics could even be like, you have to put it under a microscope to see it. But that kind of, that kind of goes along with the whole, do you know what glyphosate is? It's like Roundup. They spray it on crops. It's a pesticide. And they spray it on crops to, so that bugs and stuff don't eat it. But then they're lately detecting that glyphosate is actually in our bloodstream. And the argument is, well, it's only super, super small amount. But it's like, okay, yeah, but what is that literal poison for bugs that's in our body? What is that doing to our body and affecting us? And it's kind of like, this is the same thing. And a while ago, Rogan had on somebody, I don't remember exactly, but he quotes it all the time, that the average American has a credit card's worth of microplastic in them or something like that, or maybe they consume a credit card's worth of microplastic every year.
Okay.
Yeah. That was just something I found this week, and
I guess that's the biggest thing, is that now we're coming in to this technology age where it's like any amount of microplastics seems like it would be unsafe.
Right.
So whether it's a credit card amount or a microscopic amount, it seems like neither one of those are good, and they can both affect the health and well-being of an individual. So the issue is there any way to avoid it?
Just growing your own food, having your own little ranch by yourself, I guess. I mean, it's in like everything now. I mean, anything, plastic water bottles, plastic bags that food comes in, it's in, it's just used to package so much stuff because mass production, so they have to do it somehow, so they choose plastic, and then that plastic ends up getting into the food or into the water, and we end up digesting it, or even if it goes to the dump, it ends up decomposing into the air, and now it's in the air that we're breathing, and yeah, it's just a big old mess.
Yeah. Yep. No, it sounds like that's not something that's good.
Yeah, a little bit of a depressing subject, but that was just something that I was kind of intrigued by this week.
Yeah. And so I guess what I've been intrigued by this week is just reading the second book. It's called The Chameleon, and it's the second book after Taking Flight. And so The Chameleon is one of the characters in the book, and it's essentially the guy, the Yoda, the sensei, who goes around kind of having all knowledge about how people struggle to understand each other and why our personalities are different. And that as I continue to look inside myself and do self-improvement and personal development, that it's great to try to work on my weaknesses and develop those. But in this, it was talking about, you know, to not have to worry about trying to change your weaknesses into strengths, which I already shared a little bit of this, but that your strengths are there to continue to be your strengths. And sometimes you had shared this where you'll look at someone else and you don't know really where they came from, but you'll look at someone else and you'll be like, how is this person do this so easy? Like, mm-hmm. It's so easy for them to do that. And oftentimes when I'm doing that, I forget to look back at myself and see all the things that my personality allows me to do very, very easily. That my personality is specific in certain things, and I take advantage of them, or I don't fully appreciate those things because it just comes naturally. And I say that was the biggest thing for me, is that when you have some type of a disagreement or maybe your communication isn't so good, that it can make me specifically question myself and think I need to do a better job. Whereas sometimes I don't realize, and I'm not grateful for the things that I do easily, and I don't appreciate the personality and the strengths that I have there.
Right. It's easy to compare yourself to other people and a lot of the times not look inward and be grateful for what you have, but then somebody else is looking at you and seeing those qualities and being like, man, I wish I had those qualities. But to you, it's just something that you have, and you don't take it, you're not grateful for it a lot of the time. You just take it for granted. But
right. Yeah. And I think that's the thing, is that we do take a lot of things for granted. And sometimes when we get into this personal development, self-improvement, we can be so focused on becoming this perfect person where we forget to sit back and enjoy who we really are and appreciate those things, instead of just letting all that stress and anxiety of, oh, I got to go do this or I got to go do that, and just appreciating who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a story about Dad for this week?
Oh, yeah, I got a story. So I'm sure you've probably heard this one, but I'll tell it again. And did you want to tell that story we were texting each other about and you said you wanted to tell on the podcast or whatever?
Yeah, I completely forgot about it. It actually related to personalities.
Okay. So, my story for Dad this week is we were taking Brittany to college, and I think we had already taken her to college, and it was Mom, Ashley, Dad, and I in the car. And Dad was driving, and then we stopped at a gas station or something, and Mom and Ashley got out, and they were crying because we just dropped Brittany off, and it was the first time, and now Brittany's all alone, and we're not going to see Brittany for who knows how long or until college is done or whatever. And I was all the way in the back, and then Mom was in the passenger seat, and Ashley was in the back with me, but Mom and Ashley got out, and I was still in the back, and they both got out of the car crying, and I was crying in the back a little bit because I don't know how old I was. I was like fourth grade or fifth grade or something like that. I was in the back crying, and immediately when both of them got out of the car, Dad looked in the mirror. He's like, "What are those babies crying about?" or something like that. I'm sitting back there like wiping my tears off my eyes like, "Yeah, Dad, I don't know what they're crying about. Bunch of wussies or something." Yeah, I just remember that, and it was like, "Oh, yeah, Dad, I don't know. I was..."
Well, you know he was probably crying.
Yeah.
Do you think he was just saying it sarcastically because he actually saw you crying?
And I don't know.
Saying that to make you feel like absolute crap.
I don't know, maybe. I guess I never thought about it like that, but...
Because you would know he was always watching and paying attention. Yeah. But then again, sometimes he was completely, absolutely clueless about other things. Like, I would come home from be there for vacation, and he'd still be sitting there like watching TV as loud as it possibly could be, and be like, "Hey, I'm right here, Dad." And like, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. I'm watching TV. Like. Oh.
Yeah.
But no, the story that we had that I had to share about when it came to personalities was actually came up on my Facebook memories 6 years ago this past week, where me and Jake went out on a cruise for his graduation, essentially gift or whatever. And it was interesting because my personality loved this experience, and Jake's personality, I think, we'll say,
not so much.
Did not love it.
Not so much.
And so what it was is that each night on the cruise, there was this comedy, essentially, I guess, right?
Yeah, there was like a little comedy club thing, and they would have
comedy.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know. We got in there early, and I always wanted to sit up front just because it was easier to see and hear. And so we sit up front, and the entertainer comes up there, and it's like this old lady. Do you remember what her name was?
I don't know.
And what was her name? She had this, anyways, funny name. Well, anyways, she was like, looked like an 80-year-old lady, and she points out into the crowd at Jake, and she's like, "Why don't you come up here on stage and meet me, my boyfriend?" And so you were up there for probably what felt like forever. Right?
Oh yeah, dude, it felt like I was up there the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember it that well, but it seemed like it was a good 10 to 15 minutes where she was up there and then essentially making jokes about him being her boyfriend, and then they were talking about other couples, like, "Oh, that's gonna be us," or yeah. Ask questions about our siblings, and I was just sitting there laughing, and you were just up there, you were laughing too.
Yeah,
but it just had to do again with your personality, is that you did not really like that at all. Like, I mean, what was your experience like?
I don't know, it was just kind of, it put me in an awkward situation. Like, I think there was one time she fell off the stool or whatever, and I had to pick her up or something like that, and it was just like, "Oh man, this sucks
Oh yeah, and that's when she said you were so strong or something.
Yeah,
like
something
that.
Like that.
Yeah. And essentially it was always innuendos about him being her boyfriend. And then so then at the end of the comedy show, she like takes off her getup, and it was actually this like average, like probably like, oh, I don't know, 40-year-old lady who was just playing this role. I think it was Mom's Mabel or something like that.
Oh yeah, it was something like that.
Is who it was. No, that was a funny story that came up this week in our Facebook memories. That was very much entertaining for me, not so much entertaining for you.
Not so much.
So on personalities, we finish off with that story. We appreciate you guys all listening. We made it again another week.
One more
and
week.
We look forward to the next.
Yes, sir.
See ya.
See ya.